All right, if you got your Bible, open up to Romans chapter 5. And kind of with that, when you get back and go back and talk about the past, I kind of understand why I'm a, the Lord gave me this to talk about tonight. And that is ruling and reigning in Christ, but doing it through the words that we speak. How many of you know that's been a staple of what this ministry has taught and changed our lives? Amen? Praise the Lord. And of course, you know, it's not something that just was made up by this ministry. It's in the Bible. Here in Romans 5:17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one," to reign, notice that, reigning, having rulership, having authority, "much more they which have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness." How many of you are the righteousness of God in Christ tonight? Amen. "And the gift of righteousness shall reign in life." Everybody say in life. In life through by one, Jesus Christ. Now the Amplified says here, the older Amplified, they call it the classic now, "For it is because of one man's trespass and lapse, offense, death reigned through that one. Much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing, them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." Now, one of the things, you know, in thinking about a king, you know, a king is different than, a king doesn't preside over a nation that has a democracy or a republic or anything of that. A king has ultimate authority. I mean, whatever the king says, that's it. You don't have a choice. So a king rules by making decrees, by making statements. You know, if a king wants a ditch dug, he just says, "I want the ditch dug." He doesn't go running around looking for a shovel to dig the ditch with. He just says, "I want the ditch dug." And then whatever he says is going to, other people are going to make come to pass, right? Let's look in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. You say, "Well, Ecclesiastes, holy cow. On a Wednesday night, you expect me to find Ecclesiastes?" Yeah. All right, chapter 8. It's on page 600. And I know what you're going to do. You're going to look at the screen. I know what you're going to do right here. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Look at what it says here in verse number 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 4. The King James says, "Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou, or what are you doing?" I like here the Amplified. This is the newer Amplified, says it this way. "For the word of a king is authoritative and powerful. Who will say to him, what are you doing?" What of a king? The word. Now remember, we are to reign as kings in life by Jesus Christ, because we've been made the righteousness of God in him. Amen? All right, let's look at the book of Job. Now, brother, I can't believe you're going to read Job after you read Ecclesiastes. But no, let's look at the book of Job. Praise the Lord. Chapter 22. Have you ever read Job? I mean, sometimes people, they read Job and they're like, "Oh, poor Job." Not at the end. Amen. Not at the end. All right, Job 22. Look at verse 28. Here's the King James again. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. Take the King James. You shall also decree a thing or declare something, and it shall be established unto you, and the light shall be upon your ways. Now here again, the Amplified says, "You will decide and decree a thing, and it will be established for you." You and I have been created in the image of God. We're in the God class of beings, if you will. We're not part of the animal kingdom as much as so-called science wants to make us that. We're not part of that. We're in this world, but we're not of it. We are spirit beings created in the image of God with the right and the ability to choose words and to govern our life by the words that we choose to speak. God, that's how God operates. How many times in Genesis chapter 1 it says, and God said, and God said, and God said. Now, we need the word of God to give us the wisdom of God to know what to say about the situation that we're facing. Aren't you glad? You know, everything God says comes to pass, doesn't it? Aren't you glad that God didn't look out over the face of the deep and, you know, it was darkness was upon everything? Aren't you glad God didn't say, "Woo, it's dark out there"? It'd still be dark out there. I like watching some of these shows, you know. I like Life Below Zero and some of these Alaskan shows. Those folks live up there. Sometimes it's 24-hour darkness. I was watching one last night, and they're talking about how depressed they get. I was like, move. You know? Duh. Did you not know this? 24-hour darkness. Just move yourself. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30 then. Well, we are to reign as kings in life. We'll just present some things. These aren't new things for us, but we always have to put ourselves in remembrance. I found this out after this is, I've been got saved in 1980, so 41 years at this. And I found this, I got to continually check up on myself. If I'm not seeing, if it doesn't look like I'm reigning in life, I got to check up. What have I been saying? And what have I allowed my believing to get off? And have I allowed my thinking to get off? Right? Because if you think wrong, you're going to believe wrong. And if you believe wrong, you're going to speak wrong. And then you're going to have the wrong things. Okay? Look here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. God said this. He said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Would we agree that life and blessing go together and that death and cursing go together? But then God, you know, God gives us the answer. How many of you like to have the, how many of you Raymond students like to have the answer to the test ahead of time? Well, if you listened in class, you do. But anyway, therefore, choose life. For those of you that are visiting, this is finals week. That's why I'm making fun of that. He said, therefore, choose life. God gives us a hint. Here, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that both you and your seed may live. Well, how do we do that? Well, look at Proverbs 18. And I know I'm hurrying here, but I am not going to keep you past 8 o'clock. Right? We had a class back when I was at Raymond called Practical Ministries. Pastor Hagen taught that class here a few years ago, Ms. Hagen, and I tried to get him to teach it again. He said, nah, I'm not going to teach that. But he taught us this and that about, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. He said, but whatever time they give you, use it. Use it wisely. Whatever time they give you, if that's all they give you, just use it wisely. Don't complain about it. Just use it. When they ask you to be done, just be done. Practical, right? Amen. And somebody said, those who are brief will be heard again. So Proverbs 18:21. Look here at, this is the King James translation of this. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I think in context here, the word power here could probably be rendered authority. I haven't looked up the original word, but he's talking about death and life. Now he told us, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, choose life. Well, the number one way we choose that is by the words that we speak. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Some translations of that say those who talk a lot will get in trouble. You know. Now, there's a difference between outgoing, but then how many of you know some people that just love to talk? And they don't ever say anything, they just talk. One verse says, in the multitude of words, there's no lack for sin. Hey, man, you know, we need to weigh our words and use our words wisely so that we direct them the way we want. Now, the Passion Translation here says this: your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life. Now, right there, we ought to all be glad that right now we maybe aren't like God, that everything we say comes to pass. How many of you would have blown up a few cars today as you're driving around town by what you said? I mean, if you everything you said came to pass, I mean, you're driving around, all of a sudden, somebody does something, you say something, come on, and the car just blows up right in front of you. But I don't know about you. I think in these days that we're living in, we need the power of God to be ramped up, not hindered because we don't know what to say and how to say it. Amen. All right, look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Of course, verse 17, the King James Bible says it this way: as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Who made that statement? Do you remember? God said it concerning Abram and changed his name to Abraham, right? Said, and now did Abram have any children when he called him the father of many nations? No. But he called him that. Now, what is he doing here? He said, before him whom he believed, see, Abram believed God, even God who quickens or gives life to the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Let's listen to this. Here's the Amplified Classic again. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. So when God said, you are Abraham, the father of nations, before he had any children, he's calling something that's not as though it was. And that is a key that all of us need to learn. I remember several years ago at one of the camp meetings, Brother Hagin talked about how that the Lord had that vision there, one of the last ones there. And he said, you taught faith. He said, now there's others that can teach faith like you can. He said, now I want you. That's when he started with the demonstration of the move of the Spirit of God and different things of that, kind of made a little shift there. And one of the people that he mentioned that was there, and he said, in fact, the Lord called Charles Capps' name to me. And there's Charles right there. He was one of the teachers at camp meeting that year, one of the speakers. One of the things Brother Capps says concerning faith, he said, the Lord talked to him about this. He said, I told people they could have what they say, and they're saying what they have. You see, if we don't start calling our situation what we want it to be, those of you at Rhema Bible Church, how many of you were here January 2020 at Rhema Bible Church? Did you hear the sermon Pastor Craig preached on how to have the best year of your life? Now, I'll guarantee you, not very many people other than Pastor Craig would agree that 2020 was one of the best years of his life. But you know what? He just didn't preach it. He kept saying it. And every time things got bad, he'd get up in the pulpit and say it again. This is the best year of my life. I'm having the best year of my life. Calling things that be not as though they were. And he said it concerning this year. Amen. You know, here in last January, I turned 60 years old, you know, and people say, well, it's time to slow down. No, I've been saying it. I'm going to do more in my 60s than I've done up to this point, and more in that. And then when I get to the 70s, I'm going to do more in my 70s than I did in my 60s. And I'm just going to keep increasing. I've had a pretty good example. This 80-year-old and this 50-year-old he's married to. 82, right? See, I don't know. She's 32. No. Well, there's a story back there. We don't have time for that. She said she likes 50. She's staying there. She really enjoyed it. Right? But start speaking the desired result. And when we do that, we choose life. Someone said, I don't remember who I heard say this, I had written it not in this Bible, another Bible, to call things that be not as though they were is to speak of a future event as if it was past reality. Right? Now, how many of you know we can say that the Atlanta Braves are World Series champions? Why? Because just last night they won the title, right? But you can't speak, you can't say who's going to win it next year. Oh, you can might say who's going to win it next year. But you can't speak of something like that in the future. But we can go to God's word and see what his plan is. And we can say what God says about the situation. And we can expect it to come to pass. Now, of course, you cannot talk about this subject without going to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Let's go over there. Mark 11, 23. And this is the area that I know that when God deals with me, and I'm not seeing, he says, first of all, what are you saying? And then this, do you believe what you say? Because, you know, you can say something, but if you don't add believing it, here you're going to like what Pastor, I guess it was the Webster's Dictionary, wasn't it, Craig, where you got that definition? Unquestioning. Yeah, unquestioning belief. See, if you have a question, then you're not in faith. If you don't know, then you're not in faith. Unquestioning belief. I like that. Unquestioning. So here in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, what did Jesus say here? Of course, 22, have faith in God, the God kind of faith, or have faith like God does. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, are you a whosoever tonight? Shall say unto this mountain, you can speak to your own mountain. You don't need to call me to ask me to speak to your mountain. All right? You can speak to your own mountain. Be removed and be cast into the sea. Now, when you speak to that mountain, let's think of a real mountain, it's actually there in front. It's there. It's not in the sea, but you're telling it to get up and get in the sea. You're calling something that's not as though it were. And you're speaking the desired result. Well, what's the mountain represent here? Anything in your life that doesn't belong there. Right? Say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, shall have unquestioning belief, if we put that there, that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. And we know, probably all of us have, and we've run into Christians and say, well, that confession stuff doesn't work because I was saying it and nothing happened. And, of course, that discourages people's faith. But when you get to talking to them, if you can talk to them long enough, you find out they were saying something, but they didn't believe it. They might have been hoping, right? Or they're just saying it because they heard someone else say it. I remember in the early days of learning about faith and stuff, you know, trying to help people, I understand, but it kind of misled people. You'd hear people say, well, I confessed it 1,000 times and nothing happened. On the 1,001st time, my healing manifested. And so now everybody puts together a formula. You got to say it 1,000 times for it to happen. And it's not a formula. Where does belief come from? It comes from hearing the word of God, but it also comes from spending time with the God of the word. When I know who God is, then I can believe anything he says. When I spend time with him, that's why we continue to have times here with our students where we talk to God. Because you have to get to know God, not just know about him, but to know him. And when I know him, that he is good, that he is faithful, that he will never lie to me, that he's got good thoughts towards me. Amen? That he wants to freely give me all things, that what he's done for us through Jesus Christ, that by Jesus' stripes I am healed, that all my needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, that I am the righteousness of God in him, that I am more than a conqueror through Christ, that I always get the victory through him. When I know God said that, because I know God, I can say it and believe it. And when I believe what I say, then I'm going to have what I say. You remember, Brother Hagin would say, remember, it says three times say, one time, or three times it talks about saying and one time about believing, but don't forget to believe. All right? Now, some folks, you know, what do they call us? And unfortunately, I think some of our brethren our Rhema brethren backed off because they didn't like being criticized. Well, you're just that blab it, grab it group, that name it, claim it, you know, that confess it and possess it group. Yeah. We're the faith group. What do you want us to be, the doubt and unbelief group? We do believe it. Amen? We do believe what we say we will get. Now, in doing that, I found this out. The more that I control my words and speak words on purpose, the more I have what I say. And I have to constantly check up on myself. And I have to know this. God is true. Everything else that's against God's a lie, even my own experience. I'm going to say God's word's true if I don't ever experience it, because God will not lie. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wasn't this a special night, seeing Pastor Mrs. Hagen get honored like that? Our dear brother Stephen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you tonight for your precious, holy, written word. We thank you, Father, tonight that your word will not return void. It shall accomplish that which you sent it to do. Father, if we've spoken your word tonight, we thank you that it will rise up and live big within each and every one of us, that you'll help us. Father, put a guard over our tongue. Help us to speak what we need in our life. Help us to know your word and to speak by the Holy Spirit. And Father, teach us to call those things that be not as though they were. And we choose life tonight, Father. We choose blessing. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, tonight's your night. Don't leave here tonight without accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you need prayer for anything, our prayer teams are coming right now. You ladies, if you come see our ladies, they're going to be over here on my right and your left. And if you men would come over here to my left and your right, see them. And as Pastor Craig says, if you don't know what you are, see one of the red-shirted ushers, and they'll help you find the proper prayer line. Praise the Lord. All right? Amen.